This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Dolly Parton is many things to many people. Under the bouffant blonde hair, behind the ample bosom and rhinestone-studded outfits is a steely, smart businesswoman, a talented actress, an extraordinary musician, and a consummate songwriter, a singer, and a performer. She's been topping the country music charts for 40 years, plays Radio City Music Hall, Grand Ole Opry, and when she wants to get her bluegrass on, she can go to Merlefest. Dolly's written hits for Whitney Houston. She's written entire Broadway musical scores. And everything she does, there is a little bit of home in the hills of eastern Tennessee. You can hear it in this song that she recorded on Sugar Hill Records. Dolly Parton brings her magic to DPAC in Durham tonight. We are unabashedly taking this opportunity to talk about her work and her cultural impact. Joining me from Vanderbilt University, where she is the William R. Keenan Jr. Professor of English, is Cecilia Tishy. She is the author of the books Reading Country Music, Steel Guitars, Opry Stars, and Honky Tonk Bars, and High Lonesome, The American Culture of Country Music. Cecilia, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, Frank.
Also with us, Daniel Boner. He is director of Bluegrass, Old Time, and Country Music Studies at East Tennessee State University. Welcome, Dan.
Great to be with you all today.
Let me ask each of you, and I'll start with you, Cecilia, why is Dolly Parton so important to country music?
Well, she's made a tremendous impact on American music across the board, including popular music, way down to bluegrass, blues, gospel. And her story, and it comes out in her music over and again, it's a kind of Horatio Alger story of struggling up from the bottom to a success that is spiritual, that is ebullient, and is hard-earned and hard-won. So she never skips the fact that it's tough to get going, but you can do it and your dreams can come true, and it's such an American message.
One of the sad facts about most real-life Horatio Alger stories, Daniels, when they get there, sometimes success has a way of spoiling the individual, and that authentic person they began gets lost along the way. That didn't seem to happen with Dolly Parton.
Well, no. As you know, as Celia was saying, she always pays homage to the fact that she grew up in the Smoky Mountains and grew up dirt poor, and I think that what kind of endears her to so many people is that she hasn't forgotten her roots.
She has done some work with Porter Wagoner as well. Tell us about that work, Dan.
Well, Dolly actually began on the Kaz Walker show in Knoxville, Tennessee, and it was there that she kind of got some local attention. And in 1967, she ended up working with Porter Wagoner and had her on his syndicated show, which, of course, was seen across the country and really helped her to get her start. Now, she took over after Norma Jean had left, and some of the audience members who liked Norma Jean, I guess they weren't as quick to warm up to her, somebody taking over the spotlight. But quickly, she showed that she was very worthy of taking over that spot. They wrote some great material together, did some great performances. Some of my favorite songs of hers come from the period of her working with Porter Wagoner.
And we have a sample of that, The Last Thing on My Mind. Let's take a listen.
It's a lesson too late for the learning, made of sand, made of sand.
In the wake of an eye, my soul is turning. In your hand, in your hand.
Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind?
Now, Daniel, what are you listening for in a song like that?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. The lyrics, the sound, I mean, you've got the steel guitar going, the great harmonies that they're singing together. I think it's just great music, and they obviously, a lot of people have loved the duet stuff that she did with Porter. as evidenced by the success that she had.
And, yeah, she had big success in country songs, pop country in particular, Cecilia. You know, she had hits like Jolene. But then you think of some of her less well-known songs that are also worth a listen. And she did record. She'd go over to Sugar Hill and do bluegrass kind of tunes that maybe wouldn't sell so well with her popular audience.
Indeed. Frank, we should remember, in some of her songs, she takes up some of the issues that have troubled our culture. Pregnancy without benefit of wedlock, institutionalization for insanity. I mean, the song Down from Dover is a mournful song in minor key in which the young woman pleads for her father to come and rescue her. So the catalog of Dolly in its deeper dimensions, beyond the wonderful, fabulous hits, I Will Always Love You, and of course Whitney Houston took that up again, but deep in the catalog are the songs that engage some of the most complex, personal, even tragic elements of our culture, the dark side, in other words. And it's there, a song of that I especially like, maybe Dan feels this way too, is Appalachian Memories, in which the folks from Appalachia go up north hearing that times will be better there, and instead there is no street paved with gold. Mm. It's cold, it's harsh, it's hard, and she sings, I Keep Leaning on My Jesus, a song of spiritual resilience and yearning, undershot with disappointment. Maybe Dan has a statement about that kind of a song too.
Well, you know, and that resonates with a lot of people. But I can speak from experience. My family is originally from West Virginia. They all moved north in that kind of great migration in the 1950s and 60s. I think that type of song just totally hits home with folks. And another thing that's interesting about Dolly's music is that, you know, every few years you have somebody who comes along that really kind of revives, you know, country music or bluegrass music, and Dolly is one of those folks. I had a student here from Norway a couple of years ago who studied in the program here, and one reason that she got so interested, or became so interested in country music, was because she heard Dolly Parton, and particularly her Halos and Horns album. And that really, you know, gave a way for that student to learn about bluegrass music kind of through someone who was, you know, well-known in pop culture.
It's interesting that go ahead.
Just to pitch in, your student came from Norway. I was in Denmark. I had landed. I had taken a ferry. I'm in a northern island of Denmark. I get in the taxi, and who was on the radio? It's Dolly Parton. And I said, Dolly, to the taxi driver, and he turned and smiled and said, Dolly. And so she's a worldwide presence.
A worldwide presence who always sings about home. Let's take a listen to My Tennessee Mountain Home.
Sitting on the front porch on a summer afternoon, in a straight back chair on two legs, leaned against the wall. Watch the kids playing with June bugs on a string, and chase the glowing fireflies when evening shadows fall. In my Tennessee mountain home, life is as peaceful as a baby's sigh. In my Tennessee mountain home, crickets sing in the fields nearby.
Dolly Parton, My Tennessee Mountain Home. Here's somebody who hews very closely to the rules of a particular kind of music, country music in this case, and singing about a particular home in a particular set of mountains, and yet it's universal. How does she do that?
Well, she taps the rural, the natural. Every image in that song is an image of nature, even the June bugs on a string. When she went national and global in the mid-70s, She said, I'm not leaving country. I'm taking it with me. And the universality of the natural world is one of the major, I think, dimensions of her gift to American music and American culture. That's my thought, and I'd like to hear from Dan on this.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And you know, Dolly, I've never worked with her, but Dolly seems, from what I know, to be a very intelligent person. You know, the way that she's handled her business, the way that she, you know, her publishing, her songwriting, she's a very intelligent person, and I think that that sometimes gets lost, you know, with her stage show, and people think, you know, she even had a song "Dumb Blonde" and things like that, but you know, she's really in tune with what her audience and her fans love.
Well, and herself. I mean, I think that's it, isn't it, Cecilia? She's just been able to embrace all of what she is without without any shyness and a great sense of humor about it as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was at a Dolly Parton concert at the Ryman Auditorium, and some guy called out a vulgar thing from the back between songs, and she snapped back, "I told you to wait out in the truck." Well, it just everyone howled. It stopped him. There was no such crack from the audience again. You know, there's a little quote that I just would like to put out here. She said, "I want my looks to match what I feel inside, and I want it to be overwhelming." So the music to come from that depth, to be overwhelming as she is in her persona.
Do you think that's part of her success as well, is that everybody's kind of watching to hear and see how she's going to deal with the obvious? And when she does it so gracefully and so authentically, she becomes a hero for all of us in a way.
Indeed.
Sure. I you know, she's the sign of a true entertainer, and especially somebody on Dolly's level, I think.
Yeah. And a great musician as well. I mean, she plays how many instruments?
Oh, gosh. I know she plays banjo and guitar at least.
And dulcimer. And on one label, liner notes, it says fingernails because she tapped her fingernails. So that's the percussion session.
Also known for her warmth and hospitality. I've heard from a number of performers at different concerts that she actually cooks and brings food backstage and, you know, is ready to be hospitable at any in any venue, sort of in any moment.
You know, it's playing down any sense of divadom. That is, that she said this, everyone deserves respect, everyone has dignity, everyone should have a chance, no matter where they are in the world or what their background or their state of life. And, you know, she knows how privileged she is, and she shares so that in a recording session, we've all heard this, she brings in the food. She orders the best of the food. So everyone is pleased. And then it's a harmonious work situation.
Man, this is no fun. There's almost no scandal at all in her life that we could find. And we looked.
It's like people try to create scandal.
You try. Try and try and try. But no. You know, and she's got a deep love for bluegrass as well. Let's listen to Steady as the Rain. This is from the album The Grass is Blue. Dolly Parton, Steady as the Rain, her mastery of her instruments and her vocal style as well as songwriting, I guess, has made her a favorite among musicians as well.
Well, you know, she and Rhonda Vincent have done some recording together. Rhonda Vincent, of course, is a very well-known bluegrass and country artist. I know that talking with Rhonda, Dolly is one of her favorite entertainers. Certainly the music industry and those in the music business love Dolly as well and her music.
Yeah, musicians love to play with her. I know that I think that when she, you know, gets into the recording studio, musicians are kind of falling all over themselves to do a session with Dolly.
Adam Steffi told me, working with her, that in the studio, that it was, I think he was on the album, the Honky Tonk Angels, the tribute to Kitty Wells that Dolly was on, and said that that she was just a joy to work with, and was just as happy and pleasant. You know, there was no diva, you know, exude or demonstrated. That she was just really pleasant.
Cecilia, is there, how much music was there in her background? Any professional musicians?
Well, she had an aunt, I believe, who sang gospel. And wrote some hymns and gospel songs. And she was writing songs, according to what Mary Bufwack and Bob Orman say in their book on women in country music, Finding Her Voice. She was writing songs when she was three.
Wow.
Wrote a song about her little corn silk doll, a little tassel top, and pretending that a tin can was a microphone. So within the family, and Dolly has said to all those kids, it's hard to get some attention. So, of course, she was delighted to be on the Cass Walker show. But it seems to have just taken hold of her from her earliest years.
She's 65 now, still going strong. Any signs of retirement?
Let's hope not.
Right. Thank you both for being on the program today, Cecilia. And Dan, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Frank.
Cecilia Tichy is the William R. Keenan Jr. Professor of English at Vanderbilt University. She's the author of the books Reading Country Music, Steel Guitars, Opry Stars, and Honky Tonk Bars, and High Lonesome, The American Culture of Country Music. And Daniel Boner is Director of Bluegrass, Old Time, and Country Music Studies at East Tennessee State University. Dolly Parton performs tonight at the Durham Performing Arts Center. For more information, go to dpacnc.com. That's the state of things for today. This is North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio, and we leave you with the song I Just Might from Dolly Parton's newest album, Better Days.
Mine.